Please open to Mark chapter 9.
Come on, Chris.
Wow, I just really want to thank Raja so much. Not just for his words, but for his life. It is a life we should all strive to imitate. And I appreciate what Paul said in his poem. Will this have an impact? Well, only time will tell. Raja's done his part. Now it's up for us to take it in and to say, what is it I need to do to become the greatest child of God and give the greatest glory to my Father that I possibly can? For that, Raja, we're very grateful. As we go to the communion, we're going to read Mark chapter 9, one of the most awesome stories in the Bible, the Transfiguration. Let's read in Mark 9, verse 2. It says here, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. Of course, in Luke's version, it tells us they went up there to pray. Amen. There, he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. I remember when Teresa and I were a young married couple, and bleaching was an issue. You know, I never used bleach before. I didn't know the power of the bleach to change things. Why would it say here that it was whiter than anyone could bleach them? Because God wanted it clear. No man did this, what happened on the mountain. It was whiter and more bright than anyone. This was an act of God. This was a glimpse of glory. You know, we just went up the mountain to Los Angeles last week. And we saw a glimpse of glory. A little piece of heaven. Whenever you go to these conferences, and obviously the ones that travel and journey to get there are some of the most fired up, zealous, faithful disciples in all the world. And you spend time in that bubbling fellowship of zeal, it changes you. You go, no man is responsible for this. Only the power of God could have done this. It's these guys here, Peter, James, and John. They were the inner circle with Jesus. And you know, guys, we just need to be okay that Jesus had an inner circle. A couple guys have mentioned Matt's lesson this morning. Matt Sullivan preached about our desire to be recognized and how sinfully evil it is. And he was very open about how, as Kip had shared about some of the brothers in the guise of being mighty men, he didn't share about Matt. And Matt is a mighty man, let me just tell you. But I think the Spirit kept that back because Matt, as he shared himself last Tuesday, got really ticked off at Kip. And he had to go out on a prayer walk because he was so mad because he wanted to be recognized. And I believe the Spirit did that because Matt had to close that lesson. And I know he wasn't the only one in that room with a desire to be recognized. I know in this room we've got to kill the desire to be recognized. And then Matt said, and especially recognized for mediocrity anyway. Who of us are really doing anything worthy of recognition? And the only one we need to be worried about getting recognition from is the Lord Himself. Like that incredible centurion in Matthew, where it said, you know, Jesus was just so amazed by His faith. These guys needed to go up on the mountain, this inner circle, because as Jay has shared with me many times, they needed to see the company that Jesus kept. They needed to see who He was going to hang with. So they could see He was more than just a powerful man in their time. Let's read on. Verse 4. There appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Sometimes when you're a little nervous, you say some weird things. Amen. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He didn't know what to say. They were so frightened. You know, and as I learned here, he could have been talking about tents of meeting. Let's put up tents of meeting so that you guys can talk directly to God. Or possibly booths, like from the Feast of Tabernacles, to put up these booths. Either way, he wanted to take advantage of that moment of glory. But it wasn't time for glory yet. There was more that needed to happen first. Verse 7. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them. And a voice came from the cloud. This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. The cloud, throughout history, was a symbol of God's presence to protect and guide his people. This cloud enveloped them, and God spoke. As if it wasn't enough for Peter, James, and John to see Moses, to see Elijah, they heard the voice of God, who said, listen to my son. Which really means, obey him. He will direct you. Verse 8, suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they'd seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead really meant. See, it was hard for them to grasp that their Messiah, who was going to come and liberate them in the spirit of King David, their theology didn't leave room for a Messiah that was going to suffer and die. And we have to ask ourselves today, as Christians, does our theology allow to understand that we are meant to suffer and die in the footsteps of our Lord? Or have we bought into the lie of denominational Christianity that become a Christian and you'll be happy on earth? Verse 11. And they asked him, why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first? Jesus replied, to be sure, Elijah does come first and restores all things. Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected? Jesus asked. But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they have done to him everything they wished, just as it is written about him. You know, this is an amazing little story. And I studied a lot the last two or three days in my quiet times. The transfiguration of Jesus Christ. Why did Moses appear? Well, Moses was the great Old Testament deliverer. Remember? He delivered his people out of Egypt. Out of the bondage of slavery. He was also the great lawgiver. Remember, he went up on the mountain. And the Lord wrote the Ten Commandments for him to bring down. But Moses, he messed up, didn't he? And he didn't represent God as holy before the people, and therefore he was not allowed to lead the people into the promised land. Bible quiz. Who completed the work of Moses? Joshua. Good church. Yeah, that was awesome. Amen. What does Joshua mean? The Lord saves, or the Lord gives victory. Amen. Why did Elijah appear? Elijah represented the prophets. That great prophet Elijah. But Elijah had somebody carry on his work as well. What was his name? Good church. That was awesome. That's right. Elisha. Now, if you study it out, you'll learn that Elisha is another form of the name Joshua, which mean the Lord saves and the Lord gives victory. Then here comes Jesus, which is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua. The Lord saves. The Lord gives victory. And so, Moses and Elijah had appeared to talk with Jesus, and I don't want to be trivial, but it's almost like you're in the ninth inning, and you're on top, but you got to strike out the most powerful batter on the other side, and the coach comes out, the pitching coach, or the manager, and the catcher comes out to the mound, and they have themselves a little conference on the mound. That's how I view the transfiguration. A little conference on the mound right there with Jesus. Because He was the closer. He wasn't just going to complete the work of John the Baptist. Which, if you understand that Elijah was the one to come and prepare things, who prepared the way for Jesus? John the Baptist. And in Matthew 17, when Jesus spoke to the disciples about the transfiguration, and He talked about they've already done what they wished to the Elijah that has come. They understood He meant John the Baptist. This is fascinating. Elijah prophesied in the days of what king? Ahab. That's right. Good shepherd. Amen. Ahab was a weak leader. He was led and manipulated by that wicked woman by his side who was who? Jezebel. And they persecuted Elijah. John the Baptist was the Elijah to come to prepare the way for Jesus. He prophesied in the days of Herod. A weak leader with a wicked woman by his side, Herodias. Who nursed a grudge and manipulated Herod into cutting off John's head. He was the Elijah to come. But Jesus didn't, He wasn't just the Joshua to finish John the Baptist's work. He finished Elijah's work, and He finished Moses' work. And in John 4, His food is to do the will of the Father and finish the Father's work. Jesus was the great closer. But there's a new game going on. And Jesus put His Spirit in every one of us. And He needs us to play our part in this great quest that we have. They were talking about what must happen with Jesus when they met on the mountain. Jesus was talking with Moses and Elijah about the Exodus He was about to complete. Freeing all of us from the bondage of slavery of sin. Jesus was going to suffer death and be rejected. And what we've got to ask ourselves today as we take the communion is, what is it we need to be freed from? What are we enslaved to even today? And I think Roger really nailed it. I was super convicted, even at the conference, that we are enslaved and I'm enslaved to comfort. And as he said, pride has this sister, selfishness. Well, I believe comfort has a sister, laziness. We're so comfortable, guys. And therefore it makes us so lazy. And then we want to be acknowledged for the mediocre little things we've done for 10 minutes during the day to advance the kingdom. I don't want to be like Scrooge and look at my grave if that's the way I've lived. I want to repent. And I want to call all of us to repent. One of the decisions to make at the conference was to make an uncomfortable decision today. And I made a decision that I don't yet fully understand how I'm going to be able to do it. I'm going to need a lot of help. And it's going to be a life quest. But it's a decision to get rid of comfort. It's a decision to get rid of laziness or lazy-mindedness, as Jay talks about. It's a decision to not accept mediocrity and to certainly not want credit for it. I want to read you a quote. I'll tell you my decision. Martin Luther King. He said, human progress is neither automatic nor inevitable. Every step toward the goal of justice requires sacrifice, suffering, and struggle. The tireless exertions and passionate concern of dedicated individuals. My decision is to be more radical in the way I live my life than was one of my heroes, Martin Luther King. That may even offend some, and I don't mean to. I love and respect what Martin Luther King did. He is a hero of mine. How could you be more radical than him? How could I not be? He fought for a very important cause that we're still fighting for today, and that is equality among all people. It doesn't matter what color you are, it's the kingdom of God. That's what will bring equality. But we fight for equality so that all men and women, no matter what color you are, no matter how impressive you are by the standards of the world, you get a chance to go to heaven. We've got another ministry, our Spanish ministry, meeting in the park today separately. That ministry will always be a very poor ministry. Because it's not meant to reach out to bilinguals. They can get converted right here. It's meant to reach out to people that can't speak English. They'll always struggle. We love the Spanish ministry. And we want them to all have an equal chance to go to heaven. We have a prejudice in the kingdom of God we need to deal with. And in the world, it's prejudices you look down upon people. You think you're better than them. In the kingdom, there's a reverse prejudice that happens. People that, in a worldly way, we think are better than us, more impressive than us, the opinion leaders, we don't share our faith with them because we're cowards. We're more afraid of what they think. And so we're still prejudiced because in our minds we're reaching down. We're reaching out to people we think we're impressive to. It's not about us. Roger laid that out. We can't be prejudiced to the leaders of the state, to the most impressive suit and tie, because they're going to stand before God just like the man with no tie and no suit. The civil rights movement, I'm so impressed by what they did. It was suffering. We're reaping the benefits. Why a movement? This is part of the reason I chose Martin Luther King, because he led a movement. I don't believe we would have even the progress we have today having a man of color as our president. But we still got so far to go. But we wouldn't even have that today if there would have just been little community demonstrations against racism. Little independent community demonstrations. I don't believe we'd have the progress we have. It took a movement to be recognized. We're never going to evangelize the world by little community efforts. It's going to take a movement that grows so that it can capture the world's eyes. Or it'll never happen. I believe that with all my heart. And when we capture the world's eyes, they're going to hate us, many of them. And that's why the night before he was assassinated, Dr. Martin Luther King said the famous words, I may not get there with you, but we as a people will see the promised land. And he was killed the next day. I want to live my life with that level of radical commitment to the kingdom of God. And so I have a lot, Raja, to meditate upon as you have called me to today to figure out, what does this visit from God mean for me and for our efforts here? As we pray for the communion, let's begin to meditate
on what this means for us. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, God, I pray that we could see You this morning the way Raja described You. Your beautiful creation. And this morning, through Your perfect Word, that is how we should live. It is good and right and perfect and true. And it would make mighty men and women of the least of us. Because it is so right. God, thank You for Your love. Thank You for Jesus. In His desire to give up His comfort and to come and take on the form of our human bodies and to live a life of death, even death on a cross. Thank You so much for the fruit of the vine and the bread that we're going to take in right now. Help us to truly meditate upon the body and blood of Jesus. A body that was beaten, as Raja shared today, that was struck beyond human recognition, and a blood that flowed down the cross and onto the ground. God, that punishment was meant for me. It was meant for my sin. Thank You so much for bearing my burden. Help me live and bear Yours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.